7, yes, the calendar of the fantasy season is already at week 7. We're basically halfway through already. It's flying by. But anyway, it is All In with the Saints with myself, Jake Seeley, and Bobby McMahon. If you want to tweet us, you can tweet me at All In Kid. You can tweet Bobby at Hello and Bobby. And like I said, it seems weird that we're already headed into week 7. I really, like I said, the regular season, I mean, a lot of leagues, they start in week 14 for the playoffs, some week 13 if you have 6 teams with a bye. So it's already the halfway point. It feels like we were just starting to the season.
Yeah, I don't like it. It's going by too quickly. We definitely got to pump the brakes a little bit here. But no, that means we're getting into the thick of things. And it's really, you know, start time to take an honest look at your roster. If it's time to make some moves, you know, these next couple weeks is the time to do it, whether it's the waiver wire, whether it's trades in your league. It's time to really start shaping up for that playoff push, because now is the time.
Yeah, even if you're 3-3, you're basically running out of time here. It's going to get real quickly. Plus, trade deadlines are going to be coming up in week 8 or 9 usually, too. So there's all sorts of deadlines facing you quickly. But we'll talk about the waiver wire, some moves that can help you, especially because we're going to be in the midst of the buys. You got bye weeks all the way until week 11, which is just going to be terrible, because then you talk about 2 weeks before the playoffs, and you're still bye weeks. But anyway, at quarterback, I think the obvious one is because he hasn't been owned in many leagues to start with, and he was dropped in a lot of leagues because of the injuries, the questions around him. But at this point, Carson Palmer, when he's healthy, you need him as basically your – I'm not saying you're starting him over, you know, Peyton Manning, Jay Cutler, those type of guys. But bye weeks is what we're talking about. Fill-ins for anything that might have happened. Maybe you've been somebody who's scrambling since the season started because of Robert Griffin. But Jay Cutler is a borderline QB1, QB2. He's like right on that edge when he's healthy.
Yeah, Carson Palmer, definitely a guy I want to pick up, especially, like you said, if I'm having some quarterback issues or I've got a bye week coming up. We still have plenty of them remaining. We saw what he did when healthy, and everything looks good. He's got two very good receivers in Michael Floyd and Larry Fitzgerald. He's got an emerging one in rookie John Brown as well, and a very good pass-catching running back in Andre Ellington. So really, what's not to like? He's borderline QB1 for me. So if he's still out on your waiver wire and you've got quarterback problems, then you've been given a nice little gift, because Carson Palmer can definitely help you solve those problems.
And talking about problems, perfect example here, NFL.com. It's a problem when 9.1% of leagues own more shares of Johnny Manziel than they do of Carson Palmer. Carson Palmer's ownership percentage is at 10%. Johnny Manziel is still at 19.1%.
Yeah, that is definitely an issue, especially when, you know, Jake, you and I both talked about Manziel's upside, and we like it. We're definitely intrigued by it. But right now, Brian Hoyer is playing well. He's managing the game, and that's all Cleveland's really asking him to do. And they're playing well enough to win some games here. So it does not look, at least in the immediate future, that Johnny Manziel is going to be getting his big shot. Now, that could happen at any time, obviously, with an injury. We just never know, or a couple games bad stretch from Brian Hoyer. But Carson Palmer makes way more sense for your roster than Johnny Manziel at this point.
And, you know, I'm glad you set that up, because there's a nice transition right into Brian Hoyer, only owned in 4.3% of leagues right now. Basically, if you're playing on NFL.com, he's pretty much there. 200-plus yards every single game so far, has a touchdown in every single game, has 7-to-1 touchdown-to-interception ratio, has at least 12 fantasy points in every single game against Jacksonville this week. So I have Carson Palmer higher. He's got a decent matchup in and of himself against Oakland, and I like him a lot and trust him a lot more. But if you're really 12-team league, you might be pretty thin in your quarterback options. I got to say, Brian Hoyer, I rolled him out there last week. He got me 12.7 points. He's a mid-level QB2, in my opinion, again.
Yeah, no, I think so. I think he's one of those kind of limited upside QB2s, but one that you'll take if that's what you're looking for. If you need that safe option, you know, Brian Hoyer's the guy. Like you said, the consistency that we've seen from him so far with the passing yardage and passing touchdowns, you know, he's never going to drop huge numbers on you for long stretches, but he's certainly capable right now of being that game manager. And we talk about the rookies a lot, and we've talked about them in the past couple of weeks with whether it be Blake Bortles or Teddy Bridgewater. And we saw Bridgewater's three interception game and really couldn't get anything going there. And that is the risk of some of these young players with upside, is that they're, you know, they're risky. They're high risk, high reward type of players, or medium risk, medium reward in Bridgewater's case. But, you know, Brian Hoyer is definitely not a high reward, but he's also not high risk either. He's just kind of an even guy that, you know, I'm happy to plug into my lineup in a deeper league.
Absolutely. And looking at running back, there's a decent amount of options, big name wise. Off the top of the list, obviously, if Ronnie Hillman's still out there, which he is in 77.5% of leagues, which is just crazy, but if he still happens to be out there for you, he would, of course, be at the top of the list, as we've talked about before. Brandon Oliver actually is still 35% unowned, so he's at the top of the list along with him. But some of the names where, for the people who, you know, listen to the show regularly or in leagues that are a little bit more active, because you got to take that into account. McKinnon is probably the guy that everybody's going to target first this week, and he's only 5% owned, just even in active leagues. He doesn't have a high ownership percentage. But I will say this, while I do want to grab McKinnon, because you and I have talked about that his overall explosive talent is higher than Asiata, although Asiata has been doing well until the roles kind of changed last week, there's a couple things here. The Lions have been a great defense the entire year, but they're weaker against the pass-catching, quick, Sproles-type running backs, Jerick McKinnon, those type of guys. So I think that was part of the usage. I don't think Asiata is all of a sudden dead fantasy-wise. I think that you might see more of a 50-50 split this week. And Buffalo is actually the best against the run fantasy-wise, only 10.5 fantasy points per game allowed. That's to all running backs on the opposite team. So it's not just the RB1, whoever started, it's the entire team. They haven't allowed a single touchdown passing or rushing to running backs, and they've only allowed 11 carries to running backs inside the red zone.
Yeah, not a great matchup for both McKinnon and Asiata, and I tend to agree with you that Asiata is not just going to be completely phased out like he pretty much was last week. I think McKinnon is an exciting talent, and they want to see what they've gotten him, and I certainly don't blame him for that. I think fantasy owners are calling for that. But Asiata is a guy that's just going to, you know, carry the mail and get his 3.7 yards per carry and catch some balls out of the backfield. So I do think there'll be a split there as well. I could see this as a situation where people spend a ton of money on McKinnon and maybe he doesn't come through in the next couple weeks like they think he is, and he probably ends up getting cut again. And then you can come in and scoop him up for a little bit cheaper and hope you find some consistency. But love the talent. If I'm in a bind, I'd certainly throw some cash at him or a number one waiver priority. But do not expect him to immediately come in and solve all your problems just because he outsnapped Asiata last week.
Absolutely. And that's the biggest thing is, you know, maybe even after this week, a little bit more upside, but not somebody that I definitely really want to start unless I got bye week issues that I'm dealing with. Going against Buffalo has just been terrific against the run. But another name out there, actually owned 8.6% of leagues, higher than McKinnon, who you and I have continually preached about. But as we saw last week, even when Tate's healthy against good matchups, Isaiah Crowell is going to continue to have production going against Jacksonville this week. I like him as RB3, and if you need that plug-in, you got McCoy on a bye. I would use Crowell 10 times over 10 for McKinnon this week because of the matchup and the fact that, no, Isaiah Crowell is not going to keep scoring touchdowns at this rate, but as you saw, he's extremely productive, and as Bobby and I have said since day one, there was a reason before because of the talent.
Yeah, absolutely, and we saw it. We saw it last week. Ben Tate's looking very good, but Isaiah Crowell right behind him has definitely leapfrogged Terrence West, who was a healthy scratch this past week. So that is a very interesting role that Crowell has. Obviously, the fumbles are not something that you want to see from a young running back, especially one that's trying to beat out another young running back for backup duties. But assuming that doesn't pop up again, I think Crowell's a guy that definitely needs to be owned in a majority of leagues, especially anything 12 teams and up where you need some running back depth. I think Crowell's a guy that, you know, has some deep league flex appeal for sure.
Absolutely. And looking at the rest of the options, obviously with Stephen Ridley being out for the season, that changes the entire landscape for the Patriots. I will say this. There's a couple things here. We can attack this from a couple different avenues. One is you want to grab Bolden or James White, both of them if you can, depending on how much depth you have. You got to grab both of them because there's a chance that either one of them could be the one that benefits the most, or could be any one of them could be the lead runner. But what I'm saying in any one of them, and why this is a situation I want to avoid as always, is because it's Belichick and we don't know. Even if this week Bolden gets the majority of the carries, you know, Shane Vereen keeps his role and James White doesn't get mixed in, it could change the week after this. And that's what has always been the case. So if people are starting to offer you, or you can find an offer out there where Shane Vereen's going to get you high-end RB2 or RB1 even, value in a trade, trade him immediately. If you can get Bolden or White off the waiver wire and flip them in a trade, do so immediately, because this isn't anything different than what we've seen for the past couple of years. Tell me if I'm wrong, but it's Belichick, it's running backs, it's going to be a headache. You're going to pick wrong as much as you're going to pick right, and it's not a situation I want to deal with.
No, it's a mess of a fantasy situation. I literally want no part of it, outside of maybe if I still have Shane Vereen in a PPR, I'm obviously going to feel a touch, but not much, not even much, a touch more confident in starting him. But it's just such a quagmire of a situation. We just, you know, Brandon Bolden, maybe next guy up. James White possesses more of a skill set to replace Vereen than he does to replace Ridley. So we just don't know there. And deeper than that, you're kind of mining for gold. But you would expect that Bolden is next guy up with a shot. Certainly worth a waiver wire ad, but I'm not going to pay what anyone else is willing to pay. If I have other needs in other areas, I'm going to exhaust those first, because I really, truthfully, much like you, do not want any part of this situation for fantasy purposes.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the biggest problem, is we don't know. As much as we can speculate, it's Belichick. He could even come out and tell us, hey, guess what? Shane Vereen's going to get 80% of the touches, and then it was just a trick on Sunday. Everything changes. But a trick that you don't have to worry about, and a situation that has cleared up a ton, is the Panthers' backfield, because D'Angelo Williams is still out for a while. Darren Reeves and Fozzie Whitaker have just been adequate fill-ins, and the most talented running back still in that backfield is coming back in Jonathan Stewart. And as long as we said it before, if Williams is out, Stewart has like RB2 or better numbers. When Stewart is out and D'Angelo Williams, if, granted, they both have to play and make it through the game, make it out there, it's RB2 or better numbers. And Jonathan Stewart has been beyond dropped in a ton of leagues. He's only owned in 3% of NFL.com leagues. So if you need a running back, I don't want him as my RB2, but if I can plug him in as my flex, I'm certainly going to do so against Green Bay. Stewart, like I said, when Stewart's out there and the job is his own, which it will be this week, he's productive.
Yeah, I mean, desperate times call for desperate measures. And Jonathan Stewart, as long as he's healthy, he certainly has talent. I was very high on him coming out of college and, you know, had a couple of nice years before injuries kind of derailed him a little bit here. But a nice opportunity if he can have it, because, I mean, guys like Fozzie Whitaker, Chris Obanaya, and rookie Darren Reeves are the guys that are getting the carries right now. And if Stewart can come in and kind of bring this thing back on track, there's some opportunity here. Like you said, I wouldn't want to start him as my RB2, but certainly if I start a third running back in a flex or as a third running back, I'm fine with it. I'm definitely, as long as he's healthy and getting the green light, I feel pretty comfortable that he's going to get, you know, at least 10 to 15 touches. And that could mean a decent yardage day and possibly punching one in. And with Cam Newton running a little bit more, we don't know if obviously that was situational, but certainly looked better and looks to be on the rise once again, showing that elite talent. This could all of a sudden be a pretty decent situation for Jonathan Stewart.
Yeah, it definitely could be. As long as the backfield is his, you're going to see value. One more to talk about. If you happen to start him last week and it worked out, it's great for you. That doesn't mean it's the best call to make. And that's Storm Johnson. 10 carries, 21 yards at the touchdown. If it wasn't for the touchdown, everybody would be ticked off. Nobody would be talking about picking him up. But it was the touchdown that saved his day. Even if he gets more work this week, because the team was talking about saying that he was on a snap count or a carry count, That doesn't really matter. It's not the fact that anything against Storm Johnson or Toby Gerhardt before this or anybody else back there. It's that offensive line is not helping. It's one of the worst so far of the season, pass blocking and run blocking. Can't get anything moving downfield. So even if Storm Johnson gets 20 carries this week, I just don't know that you're going to see a ton of value. You can pick him up and you can stash him in case something changes and he is getting 20, 25 touches per game, because then you're looking at probably a RB3 value. Maybe you're hoping for about 60, 70 yards between passing or catching and running. So that's the hope. But at the same time, I'm not expecting that. I'm probably expecting more of a 4 or 5 points per game. And at that point, he's RB4 value, unfortunately.
Yeah, expectations should definitely be tempered here. We saw Jordan Todman get touches. Denard Robinson still in the mix. So if Toby Gerhardt is still out, I like Storm Johnson. I think he's, you know, one of those guys, he's solid but not spectacular type of players. It's just a tough situation. It's not many people are going to pick up yardage behind that line, basically. And that's a struggle. And that's something that you shouldn't look to Storm Johnson to all of a sudden be this, beacon of hope, high upside guy that comes in and changes things. It's really probably not going to happen for you, and really you're only starting him in desperate situations. Picking him up, certainly. I pick him up because I think he's got talent, and I'd like to see what he can do. My expectations just are very, I will say, medium at the moment. I just don't think we're going to see a breakthrough from Storm Johnson in anytime soon.
No, I don't think so either. And then looking at wide receiver, if you need help, there's plenty of it at this point. Really, I had a different guy at the top of my list originally, but that was before Marvin Jones was announced as being out for the entire year now, put on IR. So I actually moved Mohamed Sanu to the top of the list at wide receiver, even though there's a ton of options out there. That being said, Reuben Randall is still surprisingly unowned in too many leagues. He's still available in 27% of leagues. He's way at the top of the list. Not even a question who's next or who's first behind him. So it's really Reuben Randall. But then, like I said, after that, Mohamed Sanu, 33% owned. A great option this week. We'll get to him in a second. There is somebody who I like more long-term for the entire season. Actually, two guys I like more if we're looking at NFL.com ownership. But that being said, for this week alone, going against Indianapolis, A.J. Green sounds like he's out again, and that's the biggest reason why, is with no A.J. Green, Sanu is just going to eat up targets, eat up catches, plenty of potential there. But once A.J. Green is back, he's obviously going to take the secondary seat next to Green, and I think it kind of limits his upside going forward for the entire season, and when we get to the next two guys to talk about.
Yeah, I think Sanu, a solid guy that you've kind of gotten some really nice games out of because of the volume with A.J. Green being hurt and Marvin Jones now on IR and out for the year. Pretty disappointing situation. So Sanu's definitely going to carry value through even when A.J. Green comes back, just because it'll still be that number two guy. But again, remember, the Bengals aren't going to be throwing the ball as much as they did last year. So that's number one. Sanu, I don't think quite as talented as Marvin Jones, although he is very versatile and showed it off and has been very solid. So I would definitely still want to roster him, and he should be owned, I think, in pretty much all leagues. Long term, I don't think you'll be starting him in many lineups once your bye weeks are over, or once AJ Green comes back. I think he's more of a deep league play at that point.
Yeah, I think he actually still has 12 team league value, depending on what the sizes are. But again, a lot's going to change once Green's back. The two guys I do like more, and that's what I was going to hit on, are Malcolm Floyd and Andre Holmes. Malcolm Floyd, I don't know what people are still waiting for at this point with his production. We're talking about so far. Look, you look at his games. 50 yards, 39 yards with the touchdowns is the lowest output. But we're talking about fantasy points-wise. 7.2 is his worst game so far because he scored 72 or had 72 yards, 7.2 fantasy points, no touchdowns against the Jets. That's his low because he has 9.8, 9.9, 11, and 16.3 in the other four games, three of those with a touchdown. It's sad to say for Keenan Allen, but Malcolm Floyd is the option to own. It's Philip Rivers' comfort level is with Malcolm Floyd. Eddie Royal could miss this week. He left with an injury last week, but the usage that actually went up was Ladarius Green, not even Keenan Allen. And the Keenan Allen targets are still there, but Malcolm Floyd is definitely the one that looks like the best option with San Diego and somebody I would definitely take over Sanu. And then the other person I would take, and not just reactionary off his game from last week, which, by the way, his ownership percentage is 0.2. So he's available in your league. Andre Holmes for Oakland. Again, not just because of that game. 20 targets over the last two games. He played more snaps than anybody, including James Jones. Derek Carr has had a really nice game and is a good matchup again this week and has a lot of good matchups for the rest of the season and has shown that he's going to continue to throw it downfield. And Oakland will probably be behind quite a few games and force him to pass even more. And I love his upside. He's going to be inconsistent. He is young. There are going to be issues with that going forward, and I would take Floyd over him, but I would take both of them over Sanu if after for this week.
Yeah, Floyd for me is a guy that is off to a really nice start, and I think the rapport with Rivers is obvious. I think he's bench material for the most part, and a guy that you like to have depth and that maybe could plug in a pinch and get the start for. He's just, you know, he is 33 years old. Never really put together any great season. He's never scored more than 6 touchdowns. He's only played 16 games once. Career high in catches is 56 and yardage is 856. So not necessarily a guy that's going to save your season, but bench depth. And that's very important come November, December, is to have guys that if your starter's in doubt or goes down or you get hit with injuries, Malcolm Floyd can step into your lineup and he's going to get his deep targets from Philip Rivers. So definitely a nice pickup there. A guy really who you would thought of would have had the numbers that he's putting up is same name, different first name, Michael Floyd, unfortunately. But Floyd will get better, so hang in there. Andre Holmes, though, I like him. I think Oakland is a little bit of a messy situation, but I think he's emerging from it. I think James Jones is a guy that's also very solid that we've talked about in the past. But Andre Holmes, a big target. Was impressive last year late in the season for the Raiders in spots. That kind of put him on the radar in a lot of dynasty situations. But, you know, he's looking good right now. He's looking like he's running with the starters. Rod Streeter's still out. Denarius Moore still in the doghouse or, you know, underperforming, whatever it is. So it's Andre Holmes and James Jones. And I think Andre Holmes and Derek Carr have a nice connection that I would definitely be willing to take a gamble on for sure. I like Andre Holmes a lot.
And going back to the Giants situation, we talked about Randall already, obviously, with Victor Cruz out for the year, changes things. Odell Beckham, obviously far up the list, and there's a lot of potential. He's going to be the number two wide receiver there. He'll stay on the field when it's only two versus the three wide receiver set that he was seeing for the past two games. Another guy who you'll see inconsistency, he's only got two games under his belt so far because he started the season late due to injury. But once he's out there, the Giants liked him enough to take him in the top 15 in the draft. They really liked him, took him ahead of guys like Brandon Cooks, for example. So there's potential there. Extremely talented. I'll give him that. You know, obviously the question was is how similar he was to Victor Cruz. But with that situation now, he could actually step in and be the new Victor Cruz for the rest of this year, even though, again, I still think Randall is the better option, especially, again, saw another 9 targets last week. The guy's just getting thrown to all the time by Eli Manning, even in a tough game. So Beckham, I think, definitely needs to be on your waiver wire list of people to pick up. And then actually the person who I'd probably take ahead of him, but you're banking on him staying healthy, that's the only question, is Cecil Shorts, because as he showed again last week, when he's healthy, when he plays a full game, tons of targets, tons of receptions, and the receptions and yardage is what keeps his value so steady, is that he doesn't need the touchdowns because very often he'll put up a 7, 8, 9, 10 reception game because a lot of the passes comes his way, he catches them. He's very good at catching anything coming his way.
Yeah, absolutely. And go back to the Giants situation just for a moment. Definitely Reuben Randall, I think, would be the top waiver pickup. I'm high on Odell Beckham for a plug and play type of option. I think he's right there with Andre Holmes. I might actually take him ahead of him just to gamble a little bit. I do think he's got some similarities to Victor Cruz in many regards, and obviously a very speedy guy. He's got good hands, which we've seen already, and he's only played two games. So Certainly opportunity there for both of these young guys. They're you know, very, very young receivers. Even Randall, only 23 in his third year. Definitely going to be interested to see. It's a big loss for the Giants, but I think these guys, both of them, very capable of stepping in and making it a situation that's very positive for owners of Randall and Beckham.
Right. And looking at tight ends for a few people that could be available out there, looking at the ownership, again, this ownership percentage, so a lot of people might own these guys already in a league, but when their ownership percentage is this low, got to talk about him for you guys. Jordan Reed, if he hasn't been picked back up, proved, again, similar to the health situation with Shorts, that when he's healthy, he's going to put up top 10 numbers, still available in 37% of leagues, just for everybody that's wondering. But for bye week fill-ins, some people that you might need to look at, Larry Donnell got dropped in a lot of leagues after the past two games. With Victor Cruz being out, I think he steps right back into that third option ahead of Preston Parker, who will be the number three receiver for them. But we could see similar games to what we did for the first 4 weeks of the season. So both of them. But Dwayne Allen, I'm not a huge fan of him for the entire year because he's so touchdown reliant. But the Cincinnati Bengals have stepped in front of the Cowboys as being the most favorable matchup for tight ends. Somebody for this week that I think could be a very nice fill-in for you. And then after that, too, you know, Owen Daniels still has a he's 30% owned, so still has 70% of the leagues where he's unowned. And Atlanta has shown that their pass defense started off good, but that's because everybody was just running the ball down their throat. Their pass defense isn't that good either. Owen Daniels, you know, you really want the touchdown for his value, but he's consistent enough that if you need to fill in, you know, maybe your guy's on a bye, maybe you had Jimmy Graham and missed out on somebody else, he could step in and give you 5 or 6 points.
Yeah, absolutely. I think Owen Daniels, very solid option. The tight end still very much a part of that game plan. Obviously, Flacco went off last week with the 5 touchdowns in little over a quarter. So, you know, Owen Daniels really was not needed. But definitely will have a role in that offense moving forward. I align myself with your thinking on Dwayne Allen as well. I do think he's a talented tight end. I just think the ball gets spread around too much there, and really he is looking at touchdowns to really weight his value. But, you know, tight end, we're experiencing a really weird year. It's very top heavy and then kind of thins out in the middle with a lot of these guys. And, you know, the biggest news, you know, that we can think of, I think, here is that obviously Jimmy Graham going to miss a few weeks. So a lot of you guys out there and fantasy owners are going to be without one of your best options for the next few weeks. So I think it's about, you know, picking up a guy like Owen Daniels that might be able to replace him. And I think if you're in a very deep league, and something I have done and will be starting him in actually one really deep league, is Josh Hill. Definitely an intriguing guy as a prospect and has had some nice weeks. You know, obviously has not gotten a lot of work with Jimmy Graham healthy, but now that he's not, you know, we expect that Watson still going to be involved. But I like Josh Hill as a pass catching tight end, and you know, it may be a total roll of the dice, and I'm going to play him in a couple leagues where I own Jimmy Graham, and I'm also going to look to play him in the daily game and hope that he can, you know, even 50% of what Jimmy Graham would be a huge win.
Yeah, well, of course, that'd be a huge win most teams, honestly. But yeah, Josh Hill is somebody, it's funny, I was going to throw him out there too, obviously talking about the Saints and talking about, you know, if you miss out on a lot of these guys, he was going to be the one I mentioned along with Clay Harbor, who has gotten involved with the Jacksonville offense quite a bit, and at their passing, both of them are pretty much available in every single league. Their ownership percentage is 0.1%, so you can kind of grab both. Hill, obviously, if you're playing with a lot of Saints fans, might not be out there, and you can always go to Clay Harbor if not, because the other was Ben Watson. I think he's going to be similar to Dwayne Allen, is you're going to hope for the touchdown for him. He's a good red zone threat, but Hill's going to be the one putting up more of the yards than Ben Watson will be, it looks like, for that situation. So both those guys. And then one we didn't talk about that I'll throw out there, going to be wildly inconsistent, mostly because Geno Smith has been inconsistent so far. But there's a lot of potential there, as we just saw last week, when they are on track, because Geno really needs a second option behind Eric Decker, and really nobody has stepped up. Jason Morrow still has plenty of potential that if you're really in a deep league or you know, you're really needy and you're looking for that upside play, Omaro can have 10 catches. You know he can obviously bring a big week. You know, it's going to be a roll of the dice, but 10 catches is a heck of a lot of points.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It definitely is, and you see he's got a role there, and they need a pass catcher to step up after Eric Decker, like you said. And I think three of the past 4 weeks, you look at least 50 yards for Jason Morrow. It means to me that he is getting involved and should stay involved. You know, drops are an issue, but I think he's tight end too from here on out, and I certainly, if I needed tight end help, he's a guy that I'm looking at to fill in. You know, rookie tight ends normally don't light the world on fire, but he's in the perfect situation where the Jets are going to need to throw in order to beat people. And other than Eric Decker, not many promising options. So Jason Morrow definitely stepping up and filling that role and should be able to do so moving forward.
And one, before we get out of here, real quick for defenses, especially people streaming or looking for the matchup. I told you 2 weeks ago to put them on your radar and stash them even if you had a spot because of this reason. But if you didn't and you're still looking and they're still out there, the Cleveland Browns defense is your defense for the next 3 weeks. Because if you look at what Cleveland's got on tap, you want to grab them. And then you're going to be happy that you got him because you're going to be able to keep him in your lineup and just plug him out there. Because Cleveland's got Jacksonville this week, Oakland, Tampa Bay for the next two games after that. So Cleveland Browns defense, put them on tap, put them on your ownership. They're only 20% owned. You could easily get them and enjoy. Basically, like I said, if you're streaming, you don't even have to worry about trying to pick up anybody for the next 2 weeks.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what streaming's all about is, you know, it's great to stream and look at 1 week and see who the matchups are. But I like the fact that I could pick up a defense that's playing well like the Browns are and have some opportunistic matchups ahead of them. And the Browns do in the next few weeks. And that's, you know, something where you could pick them up and then you don't have to worry about it for another few weeks. You don't have to, you know, make that switch out of the defense and play a matchup because you know that the Browns are going to be in your lineup for the next few weeks.
Exactly. And that being said, we will be back on Friday. We will give you the full Week 7 preview and talk about the situation with the running backs in New Orleans. As we all know, with Mark Ingram probably coming back, it's kind of be a cloudy picture and plenty to figure out and digest for Week 7. So go out, make those pickups, go ahead and spend a top priority on your waiver list or the big money because there's not a lot of time left where the big names might even pop up or help you at this point. So if you need help, do it, as Bobby said. Don't waste time. You're running out. And until then, tweet me at All In Kid, tweet Bobby at Hello on Bobby, and we'll catch you on Friday.